So this week, we are beginning a new book in the Torah, and it's about the sacrifices. And the whole first section of the Torah talks about sacrifices that were brought for all kinds of mistakes. If the king made a mistake, if the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake, and yet the Torah finishes this week with Haftorah, which highlights the greatness of the Jewish people. The Haftorah begins, it's a verse from Isaiah, from Yeshaya. Hashem says, "Am zu yotzarti eliti lasi saper." This nation I made for myself, it will share, it will say, it will relate my praises. That's what Hashem said about the Jewish people. Am zu yotzarti eliti lasi saper. So let's, before we get into the praise of the Jewish people, Zev woke up on a Sunday morning, let's give him some little negativity. So there were these cannibals that they discovered, this LL flight that landed over there in the middle of in Africa, and they take all the people in the plane, and they present them before the chief. Who does he want to eat for dinner first? So the king, the chief cannibal, and he says, "We're not going to do that. We can't just take one of them. We have to boil them all up together." Chas v'shalom. Why? Because these people are different. He says they eat up each other. They eat each other up, and that's what it seems to be. Unfortunately, something that we see in history over and over again, that there's a lot of infighting, a lot of discord, and we had a bit of a respite from it right after the tragedies of Simchas Torah this year. But it seems to, again, this discord and hatred, and seems again to be raising its ugly head. And the question is, how do we look at ourselves in the mirror? And the truth is, this Torah portion and the Haftorah seem to be very incongruous with each other. The Torah portion is talking about all of our mistakes, right? It says, if the community all does a sin together, if the high priest does a sin, if the king does a sin, if the individual does a sin. And then at the end of the whole thing, how does it conclude with the Haftorah? Isaiah's words, "I've created this nation for my sake, it will share my praises." So let's analyze that verse for a second. First of all, what does that have to do with the Torah portion? And second of all, what is he saying with that in that verse? Is the meaning of the two phrases, "I've created this nation for my sake," "I've formed this nation for my sake," rather, "I've tilasi saperu." It seems like there's something about us, first of all, that Hashem has made us. And there's a second phrase, "it will share my praises." This nation will share my praises. What's the first phrase about? I've created this nation, that's one thing. And there's something else, that it shares my praises. What's the purpose of this people other than sharing the praises of Hashem? There's a verse divides this into two phrases. "I've created this nation for myself," and the second thing, "it will share my praises." Second of all, why does the Torah say an usual expression for creation? The usual expression for creation is barasi. Am zu barasi li. This nation I've created for myself. Here the Torah uses the word yotzarti. Yotzarti is a word that's more of a... in Kabbalah, there are four worlds that we've learned about, and the world of formation is lower than the world of creation. So, in other verses, Hashem says, I created heaven and earth, and I barasi, and I created man upon it. Why does the Torah use the expression of yotzarti? What does that mean? And also, another question is, why does Hashem say in this verse, as a certain thing, as a for sure thing, this nation will say my praises? Why is it so for sure? Everyone has free choice. And the prophet Isaiah lived at a time when Jews did choose to serve idolatry. So how does he have the confidence to announce the virtue and the beauty of the Jewish people and say they will, for sure, say the praises of Hashem? So it was about 30 years ago. It was in Israel, and there were some rabbis, unfortunately, who were speaking very disgracefully about the Jewish people. And they were saying, God forbid, that the Jewish people deserve another Holocaust. They're doing all these sins. And they were saying all kinds of things about Hashem, and Hashem is gathering their sins together. And that's why Saddam Hussein, Yimach Shemo, he was then doing the saber rattling with Kuwait, and those who remember in 1990. And he was talking about, this one rabbi in particular, was talking about how another Holocaust is going to happen, God forbid, and how we deserve it. And God's waiting for the last sin to zap us. And a very fire and brimstone, Parshas Vayikra, Tav Shenun, the Rebbe responded. And I can't deliver to you today the whole, I mean, even if I remembered every word of the Sicha, you can't copy that. But suffice it to say that the Rebbe's words rejuvenated the Jews in Eretz Yisrael and around the world, the Jews who were not religious at all. A friend of mine was telling me about how we went in a taxi cab at that time period, and this taxi driver was like, you know, the Rebbe stood up for us. Like, it was something that Israel was in the news, and Israel was news around the world, how the Rebbe, like, brought the Jewish people to reckon, to look in the mirror and to realize their greatness at that time. It was needed because of this other rabbi who was very prominent, who had done all this disgraceful talk. And before I just get into it, I just wanted to mention, the Rebbe said that, among other things, Rebbe said it was disgrace not only to the Jewish people, what he said, it was disgrace to Hashem. The way he described Hashem, as if Hashem was like waiting to gather the sins together so he could hurt us. And this guy was saying how the Holocaust was deserved, Chas HaShalom, and Rebbe was saying that even the Satan himself couldn't gather enough sins to justify a Holocaust. So this was totally out of the question, everything that he was saying. And instead, Rebbe turned to this Haftorah this week as the center of what he was presenting of the true greatness and the true identity of the Jewish people. And in that, for Brengen, I think you could divide in 3 points what the Rebbe said. First of all, there is a first part of the first verse. I've created this nation for my sake. What that means is this. Hashem made the Jewish people for his sovereignty. The fact that Hashem is a creator, that started when he made the world. Before he chose the Jewish people, he was already the creator. But in order to be a king, you have to have a people. As the Talmud says, "Ein melech b'liyam." There's no king without a people. Parenthetically, we do see in our prayers, "You are the king before the world was created," right? You were a king before anything existed. That's just it's a subject in itself. But in short, that's describing Hashem's own identity as a king. Like, for example, like someone who is fitting to be a king. But to actually be a king, you have to have a people. In Hasidus, it says if you have 1,000 children, you can't be a king. If you have flies, and you have you're a human being, you can't be a king over flies. In order to be a king, there has to be a people that you have a relationship with. So, that means is that something about a Jew that Hashem values so much, and Hashem says that these are the people that make me a king by their very existence. They're the ones who I give my commandments to. They're the ones who have to keep my commandments. And even though a Jew has sinned and not done a mitzvah, but he's still obligated to keep the mitzvahs of Hashem, and he builds and he perfects the sovereignty of Hashem. On the other hand, when you give up on a Jew and you say he doesn't belong to the Jewish people, you are really, what you're really doing is you're hurting the sovereignty of Hashem. You're challenging the sovereignty of Hashem. You're limiting Hashem's greatness, because the greatness of Hashem is that he's a king of the Jewish people, and therefore every Jew is part is what are they about? What are they meant to do? What is their very existence? They're the people of Hashem. They're Hashem's people. They're the ones who make Hashem a king. And then the Rebbe focused on the word Yetzarti. The connection of the Jewish people to Hashem is not just that every Jew is part of the people, we're part of the Jewish nation, but it's something that flickers and shines in the identity and the personality of every Jew. That Yeshaya emphasizes This is a nation that Yatzarti, that I have formed. The word tzior, form, is also the word that's used for artwork. It's the idea that every Jew has their unique form, their unique identity. They have characteristics that you cannot make a mistake about them. And there are certain genes of the soul of the Jew that cannot be erased. How can you explain the fact that despite all the difficulties historically that we've been through, the Jewish people stubbornly remain attached to their faith in Hashem? The unique quality of the Jewish people is that they're like a candle. That always, the fire of a candle always goes upwards. It never is settled. It continues to climb upwards. The Jewish people don't find any rest in any complacency in anything in the world. Nothing satisfies a Jew. No achievement satisfies a Jew. And he continues to search. That's what a Jew is. There was this Israeli news journalist named Shlomo Shamir. And he was for many years the representative of the newspaper Haaretz in New York. And he visited the Rebbe and he expressed his surprise when the Rebbe said that every Jew believes in Hashem. And he responded to the Rebbe and he said, "Most of my friends that live in Israel do not believe." And the Rebbe answered, I'm paraphrasing from the Hebrew in the article. The Rebbe said, "Every Jew who lives in Israel is a great believer. Sometimes without him even being aware that he's a great believer. Israel is a barrel full of faith. All that's needed, all that's missing, is a spark that will light up this light this up, and cause the faith to shine. Take a Jew who lives in Israel," the Rebbe said, and he classifies himself as part of a communistic party. He's living, the Rebbe says, with his wife and children in a country surrounded by enemies that want to annihilate him and his children. Why is this Jew living in Israel? Why does he remain in Israel? Is it because he believes in Marx? No. He lives in Israel. He stubbornly protects Israel because, although he doesn't realize it, he believes in Hashem, and he believes that Israel belongs to the Jewish people. The Rebbe continued, "We only need to arouse in him the recognition in his own faith, and by this recognition, to bring him to fulfill mitzvahs practically. We need to teach him to keep Shabbat, to keep kosher, to put on tefillin. It's a natural continuation of the faith that he has inside of himself." Those are the Rebbe's words. As much as we try to hide our identity, to be like everybody else, reality forces us to stick out. The amount of Jews in the world is less than 1%. It's 0.20. It's a very low amount, very small. But the influence of the Jewish people in the world is beyond all proportions. 22% of Nobel Prize winners are Jews. 22% of the world's billionaires are Jews. 20% of Forbes, 11% of Forbes 500 are Jews, and 20% of American billionaires are Jews. And till recently, 4 out of 8 of the justices of the Supreme Court were Jews. So, if 1,000 people come into a room, 2 of them are Jewish. But if 1,000 Nobel Prize winners come into a room, 220 of them are Jewish. So, it's something that can't be ignored. Our identity and the fact that we're different is something that's obvious. The Navi, the prophet, in the Haftorah, he continues, and he says another line. Isaiah in the Haftorah this week says another line. The last line he says is, "They will declare my praise." It's a certain thing. Hashem is saying, I don't need to do anything in order that Jews should say the greatness of the King of all kings. That's something that is part of their very existence. The very fact that we're here and we're talking about this itself is an expression of Hashem's praise. How could you explain the fact that that in we're going to celebrate Purim again. After thousands of years, we're still celebrating Purim after Haman wanted to annihilate us, and Hamans of every generation tried to annihilate us, and we're still here. And we're still celebrating. We're still going to have the Megillah and the Shachmanis and Talos Avyeinim. There was a Jew in named Robert Kumnitz. He had an interesting conversation with the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama was exiled from Tibet, and he had to go to India to Dharamsala, and he wanted to meet some rabbis to figure out how the Jews are maintaining their existence in exile. I know what the Jews told him, but that's interesting. It's interesting fact that's who he turned to figure out how do they do this. It's something which is mind-boggling. So that's what the prophet Isaiah is saying. This nation, Hashem said, I created for my sake. It will share my praises. The Jew is eternal, and Jews last forever. The Jews are a wondrous testimony on a power that lasts forever. That when you see a Jew, you understand that you're only seeing... you see a Jew, you understand that whatever you thought before wasn't a full picture of the world. That when you see a Jew, it highlights something else. It highlights that there's something more than you ordinarily... than seems on the surface. The truth is that we're not the first people to ask the question about the identity of the Jewish people and the continuity of the Jewish people. One of the first who asked this question was Eliyahu HaNavi, Chaim. We read a few weeks ago, actually we didn't read it this year, the Haftorah, Parshas Kisisa. We did read it this year. The Haftorah Parshas Kisisa talks about how Eliyahu HaNavi is trying to stop the Jewish people from worshiping the Baal. And he challenges the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of Baal come forward, and the challenge is, who could bring down a fire from heaven? And lo and behold, all their tricks of how to invent a fire, how to create a fire secretly, that no one should know, and to pretend the fire came from heaven. The guy who they had hiding in the pyre got bit by a snake, and that didn't happen. So Elijah actually prays to Hashem, Eliyahu prays to Hashem, and he succeeds in bringing down a fire from heaven. And all the people there are like, wow, Hashem is real. Hashem is the God. Hashem is the God. What happens next? What happens next is that the queen, Isabel, she is very upset at what Eliyahu Navi has done, and she issues a warrant out for his arrest. And he escapes to the desert. And what happens to the Jewish people? They all revert back to idolatry. After such a display of the miracles of Hashem, they go back to idolatry. So Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah, is in the desert, and he prays to Hashem that there should be no rain that comes upon the Jewish people. And he says awesome words. He eulogizes the Jewish people, and he says, quote, I was jealous for the honor of Hashem, the God of hosts, because the Jewish people have left your covenant, and I'm the only one left, and they wanted to kill me. So Hashem didn't appreciate the words that he said, and Hashem sent Eliyahu HaNavi to do two things that highlight the eternity of the Jewish people, that we see in all the Jewish people, that this is something that every Jew feels a connection to. Eliyahu HaNavi is sent to every circumcision. Why isn't every circumcision? This is most Jews, almost 100% of the Jews, fulfill this mitzvah, despite the fact that it's a very difficult mitzvah. Father and mother have to, you know, hold back their feelings of sympathy for their child, and yet they make the circumcision. So Eliyahu HaNavi is sent there to see. Hashem sends Eliyahu HaNavi to see the greatest Jewish people, also the night of the Seder, and the night of the Seder. It's the most popular mitzvah. And that mitzvah also highlights that no matter what has happened throughout the ages, there's still this steadfast connection to Hashem. And this is what the prophet tells us in this Haftorah, Am Zu Yotzaitel Yilas Yosef Peru. This nation, by their very existence, they are some people that are cause Hashem to be a king. Hashem is only a king because of the Jewish people. And more yotzarti, not just the way they, because they're members of the Jewish nation, but yotzarti, their specific form, their character, who they are, that also can be traced, not just traced, but it's obvious in the characteristics of every Jew how they're part of the Jewish people. You see in a Jew, in every Jew, the Rebbe said, how they uniquely, each Jew crowns Hashem as a king. And more, the prophet continues, Tilosi Sapero. It's a certain, it's not a question that every Jew, by their very existence, causes and shares the praises of Hashem. As we see in the mitzvahs of that I mentioned, but beyond that, just by their very existence, just by who they are. And as Rebbe mentioned, the guy is living in Israel, and he's part of the Communist Party, and yet Rebbe says, why does he live in Israel, surrounded by enemies that want to destroy him and his family? Where does there's a lot of faith in him. He doesn't even realize he has this faith, but that's a faith that he has, and that's what's causing him to live in Israel.
Also, the
Seder, Night of the Seder. Yom Rav has come to the Night of the Seder to see the Jewish people came to the Seder to show that Hashem is responding to him, and you have to go to every Seder to show him that no, it's, you're not the last Jew. Jews do this. This is what Jews will always do. And so Hashem has always protected us from enemies from without. From without, Hashem will also protect us from the enemies from within that cause discord among the Jewish people. And we will celebrate the coming of Mashiach in Yerushalayim, and automatically after Mashiach comes, we'll celebrate a fiery Dikin Purim, a very joyous and fiery Purim with Mashiach Tzakeinu. L'chaim, l'chaim, v'racha. Any questions or comments?
When's the Mashiach coming?
Chaim.
When Mashiach now?
Ask Avram, I'll tell you. Avram, when do you want Mashiach to come?
Mashiach now.
Amen.
There you go.